Live from the center of the Razorback universe.
The only radio show Razorback fans need to listen to.
Unbiased and unafraid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ruskin and Zach.
All right, I don't know what you've heard, so let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start, according to Rodgers and Hammerstein.
No, start at the end, a couple of middling flashbacks, jump forward, and then start at the beginning.
No. Now it's an episode of some crime drama.
Exactly.
The Big Ten is probably going to play only conference games. The Athletic and ESPN are reporting. If college football can be played this fall, I'm reading from this ESPN report. Big Ten presidents and athletic directors prefer playing a conference-only schedule, which would eliminate some long-distance travel and help ensure that the teams are being tested for coronavirus universally. This being told to ESPN, there could also be overwhelming support for a 10-game conference-only schedule, according to sources at ESPN. So that's the top part. Let's dive somewhere into the middle or to the bottom. Arkansas State needs a game now in September. They also need $1.8 million because that's what Michigan was going to pay them to go up to the Big House and upset Jim Harbaugh's team. Maybe. So that's where this thing is now. And the other unintended consequence here, and we'll get your thoughts on that. You can text us or call us 866-285-4005. About conference-only football looking like where the big leagues are headed after the Ivy League just stopped everything yesterday. The problem here is for the MAC. The MAC has 10 games against Big Ten opponents that have now been apparently wiped away. That's millions of dollars for athletic budgets that don't have $6-8 million in profit like say an Arkansas has, and so that's not ideal. I don't understand though why some of those games can't stay, because some of those MAC schools are in the same state.
They're closer than
The Big Ten schools. You know, if you're at Kent State, I don't know Ohio State's schedule, but I mean there's Ohio schools in the MAC. There's Illinois school. I mean you could. The Michigan schools, I mean, some of this could be doable.
The wording was interesting. It said that the conference schedule is the most likely outcome. They didn't come out and put their foot in the ground and say, this is what we're doing. It said it's the most likely outcome.
Well,
it could be a test balloon.
Well, the Big Ten has formally announced now that's what they're going to do, that they will have fall sports move to conference-only schedules. Details for these sports will be released at a later date. Decisions on sports that they haven't listed here will be evaluated. I know I'm doing the Francesa thing and reading on the air, but this is this statement coming down from the Big Ten moments ago. So if, unlike the Ivy League decision, which is just, we'll see you January 1, the Big Ten decision might be the way that you see other Power Five schools go. And we were talking before, like, the model to watch closely here in a few weeks is baseball, because baseball is doing travel kind of like college sports. If you're playing with your conference, there's a set geographic area and you're only traveling in that space. You're not going across country or this way or that way. The longest flights are when the New York teams have to go down to Florida. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like the Central Division teams, if you look, and I pulled this up, and I'll share it here in a little bit, but the travel map is very, you know, kind of tight together when you look at the map of the U.S. The West teams, NLAL West, that's the longest travel because Texas has to go to Seattle at some point, you know. So, if that works, that's going to be something that's really crucial to keep an eye on.
One of the things that I had been reading over the last couple of days was the idea that you would have longer game weeks. Maybe instead of 7-day game weeks, you'd have 10-day game weeks. Then you'd be playing games on Thursdays and whatever. But if you're eliminating 4 non-conference games for the Big Ten, you can essentially put bye weeks almost every other week. You start late, you put bye weeks in, you can buy yourself longer game weeks.
No.
It's an idea. I don't know that the Big Ten pulling out first is the best move for college football, but then again, they couldn't care less.
Another important thing to read here, the Big Ten Conference announced today that if the conference is able to participate in fall sports, it'll move to conference-only schedules. If they're able to participate in fall sports. So there's still a hedge here that this may not happen, but it's also they're going to do this. And
somebody's September 19th just opened up.
Yes. Well, Arkansas State's did.
That's who I was referring to.
Yes.
Who's Arkansas got on the 19th?
Mississippi State, I believe, in Starkville. But here's the thing. They're going to draw up a whole new schedule for 2020, I believe. And one of the notes I saw is that they're leaning towards having division games in the Big Ten earlier in the year in case they have to stop in October. Mm-hmm. So if other leagues do that, Arkansas' schedule could get all jumbled up. Even though Mississippi State is a division game week 3, you could see move up in the schedule. So we're not just talking about, it seems like, and then the Big Ten has not announced anything on this, but we're not just talking about dates and then starting and stopping. We're talking about a whole new 2020 schedule possibly being drawn up with just, in the SEC's case, 8, 9, 10. I would think if the Big Ten schedules 10 league games, the other leagues will follow suit with that.
What difference does it make if you're playing 10 league games and you've got Ohio State playing Miami of Ohio and then Ohio State's got to get on a plane and go to Piscataway, New Jersey?
Well, that's another... That's
dumb.
But there's got to be some sort of, you know, there's got to be some sort of... Well, Rutgers is supposed to play Syracuse. Why couldn't that happen? That's close. Uh-huh. New Jersey, proximity, Syracuse, New York. But I think they want some sort of uniform... approach here, where because some schools may not be able to do that, so then you'd have some schools with maybe 8 or 9 games and some with 10 or 11.
Well, the argument is that the schools need 10 games for monetary purposes. You have contracts with television partners and they want their 10 to 12 games, so you're going to have to fulfill that contract somehow. But sending Ohio State to Piscataway, New Jersey to play Rutgers doesn't make any sense if they've got Miami of Ohio on the schedule. Now sending, you know, Washington to Ohio State, I get that. But this is, I'm shocked it was the Big Ten first.
Yeah. There's a report that the Pac-12 considering doing the same thing with the Pac. So it looks like this is the road we're going on. If we're going to have football in the fall, it's going to be just league games. And it may be more than, if you were talking to the SEC, it's going to be more than 8. And your whole schedule in terms of the dates may change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where things sit at this moment. What do you think about it? 866-285-4005 to be a part of this developing situation here on Ruskin and Zach on this Thursday afternoon.
I hate it for college football. It's the one thing that we get to look forward to in the fall, and now it's...
Well, they're having 10 games.
We think.
No.
I love some of the intersectional matchups. I like when, you know, a MAC team pops off and beats a Big Ten team. We're not going to get that.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. I wanted to see Arkansas State, you know, get on the bus and go to Ann Arbor, but they're not going to do that because Michigan doesn't want any part of that.
What is the... there was another thing here I wanted to... Some of the games we could be and probably are going to be missing out. I mentioned there's 10 MAC games on the schedule. It just devastates league.
Well,
okay, so
unless they get some sort of buyout from the Big Ten, some sort of, you know,
I was reading some of the language in Arkansas State's contract with Michigan, and I don't think they get any money. It doesn't seem like, the way I read it, it doesn't seem like they get any dough for this cancellation, because it falls under something like you're not allowed to have the game based on government or whatever, you know, the health department. There's language in there. So there we are. Your thoughts, 866-285-4005 is the number. We'll go through the rest of the news when we return here on Ruskin and Zach. Stay right where you are.
The Razorback Talk Show, designed for smart fans. This is Ruskin and Zach.
Not a lot of Razorbacks in the next 20 minutes. No. Got to be honest with you.
Nope.
Not going to happen. We're happy to be joined by the head coach of the Arkansas State Red Wolves, going into his seventh year in Jonesboro. Blake Anderson is our guest here on the Williams Tractor Hotline. Coach Anderson, thanks for joining us today here on the program. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me.
So, I mean, it seems like we've talked to a few different coaches. So how has your team, how has your staff kind of handled the pandemic time here over the last almost 4 months or so?
It's been difficult, to say the least. We did get some spring ball in before it all kind of hit, so we're lucky in that sense with all of our staff staying put and a lot of veterans. So we got a little bit more done than most, but it's been a long time, so we've been able to work with our guys the way you want, and not that we're any different than anybody else. We're having to kind of find our way through it. They're back on campus. Freshmen showed up this week. Veterans came back a while back, and we went through the testing process and quarantine and all those different steps. And I'm happy to say guys are healthy and doing well and working out. It's just unique. It's definitely not what anybody's had to deal with in the past.
Coach, you're kind of in a unique position in college football in the year 2020, in that you've got not one but two guys at the quarterback position that can play. You know, there are a lot of teams around the country that are searching for one guy. You've got two, Lane Hatcher, Logan Bonner. How do you sort this out? You've got a guy that last year was the Sun Belt Freshman of the Year who replaced your starter who got hurt earlier in the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good problem to have, to be honest with you. I've been one of those offense coordinators and been on those offensive staffs where we didn't have one. We were trying to manufacture one, figure out how to get through a game and get through a season and win games, which is difficult. We all know at any level, from junior high all the way up through the NFL, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. So to have two guys that have proven their ability to win, to me, is a great problem to have. I told somebody the other day, there's a difference between a quarterback controversy and quarterback competition. I think it's the attitude of the kids and the team. We definitely have a quarterback competition, but not a controversy. I mean, Logan Bonner played great football before he got hurt. He had the same injury that Drew Brees had the surgery. He'd thrown 10 touchdowns and had one interception, and even the interception that he had was a bobbled ball in the backfield that was intercepted by a D lineman that was standing right in front of him. So he did everything we asked him to do, sat behind Justice Hanson for a couple of years, prepared himself, and played at a really, really high level. He was probably playing as good as anybody in the country at our level when he got hurt. So he did his job. Lane came in and did a phenomenal job and helped us win games and obviously got better all year. I mean, Logan's going to take the first snap with the ones, and then we're going to compete. And whoever ends up being the guy is going to make our team better. But it would be a controversy if those guys were working against each other and pulling against each other and we're back, kind of behind the scenes fighting each other, but they don't. The team rallies behind both. They both pull for each other. They make each other better. And I think they both know the value of having two really good quality players in one room, because, I mean, you're one injury away or you're one quarantine away from not having that guy. And this year, maybe more than any other, I mean, it could be realistic that you could lose the guy that you have just due to a positive test.
We're talking with Blake Anderson, head coach at Arkansas State, here on Ruskin and Zach. I'm sure a lot of people in your profession, yourself included, have kind of discussed that scenario. Does the starter only meet virtually? I mean, how does that work? Because if it gets in a position room, I mean, you could lose an offensive line.
Yeah, I think the million-dollar question is when we actually get back to normal activity, when we get back into camp. We've got walkthroughs that are scheduled to start on July 24th, fall camp on August 6th. What are the details in terms of what close contact is? You know, how do you define it? How do we deal with asymptomatic people? What about people that have had it in the past? You know, all that stuff, it changes daily. And if we started fall camp right now, it would mean one thing. A month from now, it may mean something completely different. We've been doing virtual meetings all this time. We've not been in the same room with our players since we broke for quarantine or for kind of COVID protocol back in March. They work with our strength staff, but in very limited space with limited people in big spaces, masked up and all that. I mean, obviously, it's going to be hard to have practice that way. But we may still continue to do virtual meetings for some time until the details or the things that we know about it change. We're going to have to adapt with it. And you're right. Who do they room with? Who do they travel with? How close do you get for how long? Do we still use virtual meetings? Do we have to keep guys separated throughout the course of the week to try to mitigate any issues if a guy is to test positive or a guy does become symptomatic? And we've had guys test positive that have not had any symptomatic players yet at all. And, you know, what do they all get treated the same as we move forward, as people know more, as we learn more?
Coach, I'm curious. Most teams will start out with, you know, a welder's college in the first game or so. You got to go down to the Liberty Bowl to play Memphis, then you get Howard, and then you got a trip to the Big House. You've got a lot of guys coming back on offense, not so many on defense. Do you sort of, I'm curious about the learning curve that you're kind of going to go through in the next, you know, 30 days or so, getting these guys up to speed, because you're starting out with a team that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, we play a really good team in Memphis. I mean, I don't know if they'll be top 25, but if they're not, they'll be really, really close. Obviously, Michigan will be too. I don't know if anybody else is starting out with two top 25s in the first 3 weeks other than us, but it's a tough schedule. And you know, we did get a few practices in, which is good. We have a ton of experience coming back on offense, which is good. You mentioned two quarterbacks that can win games. Our defense is going to have to grow up quickly. Now, we didn't lose any staff on defense, and we're not making any significant, huge changes. But how quickly we can get all the new bodies up and running on defense, how quickly that can happen, how quickly we can look like a veteran football team will have a huge impact on how we play early. And obviously, we need the offense to go out and play really, really well early so that we can take some pressure off the defense. And I mean, you hate putting either side of the ball under that kind of pressure, but that's exactly where we're going to be week one. They're going to have to score points. They're going to have to keep, you know, Memphis's offense off the field, who runs the ball maybe as good as anybody in the country. It's a huge task, but it's a great opportunity. If you want to be seen on a national level, I mean, play the best and beat the best is the best way to do that.
We're talking with Blake Anderson, Arkansas State head coach, with us here on Ruskin and Zach. I want to flip, Zach and I talk about this from time to time about football and then the college game and how it's offensive gear. So let's flip to the other side here. How do you play defense in this game? It seems like it's at times hopeless. If you're going to give up 40 points, it's just going to happen. How do you defend what you and a lot of your contemporaries run offensively in today's college football?
Great question, and it is increasingly difficult. I think the premium has become obviously tackling in space. They may not be big collisions anymore. It's about getting them on the ground and making them snap it again. You know, slowing them down, trying to frustrate. We changed defenses midstream, midseason last year due to injuries and what we had in terms of personnel, which I've never done in my entire career, but we had to a year ago. We had to completely change schematically. So to try to create some looks that are difficult for the offense to see, try to, you know, be versatile but be simple. But you've got to play great in space. I mean, it is in what we're seeing with the RPO game, what we're seeing with the space that's produced, the speed that guys have, and the ability for high school guys to throw the ball like they do now and come in, you know, throwing the ball better than they ever have. You've got to throw the yardage out the window, and you've got to make them snap it again, and kind of bend, don't break, and find a way to make them kick the ball. Whether it be a punt or a field goal, those got to be wins for us. We have to take you know, making opponents kick field goals. We have to take that as a victory. It is difficult to stop people. And, I mean, it still comes down to the same thing. You got to own the line of scrimmage to do that. You got to be able to stop the run. But with RPOs and speed out in space, you better be able to tackle one-on-one and get a guy on the ground, or at least slow him down until help gets there in some cases. And that means you got to recruit athletic guys that can stay on their feet in space and kind of play, you know, kind of basketball on grass a little bit. And then the 1 week a year that you end up against a triple option team or a power eye team, then you've got to adjust and adapt and find a way to hang on, you know, that particular week. But, you know, the other 8-9 weeks of the season, you're going to see a lot of grass and a lot of space, and you better be good in it, comfortable in it.
And Coach, we had Dell Loggins, the OC for the Jets, on about a month ago, and he was telling me that basically in the NFL game, it's a one-on-one game. In college, scheme will only carry you so far. Have you changed the way you recruit defensively? You're looking for different kinds of athletes, to your point, to tackle in space, to be better in space, and be able to cover these jackrabbits that are running down the field.
Absolutely. You've got to. You've got to find guys that are flexible, that can change direction, and again, can get. You want physical players, but in the absence of physical, kind of features, you've got to find guys that are athletic enough to stay on their feet, close space, and get guys on the ground. The old days of 11 guys, or, you know, 22 guys, 11 on 11, all packed in there in the eye, and tight ends and fullbacks and kind of playing downhill, just you don't see that part of the game very much anymore. And even the triple option teams, and when we play Georgia Southern, man, they got speed at all the slot spots. They'll break out into some spread sets enough where you've still got to be good in space. So it's been a premium on how many guys we can bring into the program that are great on their feet, out in space, speed, so they can cover ground, the ability to stay on their feet and come to balance and really slow the offense down. Pull the offense down and recover quickly. It's just a little different than I think it was when we first started, where you were looking for size and power all the time, you know, huge physical traits where you could just blow people up, and it's just not quite the game that it was before. And if you're going to take that guy, he's got to be really, really mobile.
Blake Anderson's our guest here on Ruskin and Zach on the Williams Tractor Hotline. I got to ask you about the University of Arkansas has lowered the curtain a bit in terms of playing other schools in the state, except in football, but I think a lot of people feel that day is coming. What's your thoughts on what it would be like if Arkansas and Arkansas State one day get together on the football field?
Oh, I think it'd be huge. It'd be a great game. I think it'd sell out in about 5 minutes, and it'd be an unbelievable event. I don't know at what point that happens. I do believe that it will. I think the people that are in charge on both ends at this point see the value in it. I know our schedules are kind of locked up for a few years, but I know we would move mountains to try to make that happen, you know, sooner than our schedules are available. I just think it'd be great for the state. I get it. There's a risk involved if they play us. We've been through that, but I think it'd be great for the state, and it would build up and pump up the energy around football here in the state of Arkansas like no other game would do.
Coach, there was a bit of a coaching carousel at Arkansas State prior to when you got there. It went through Freeze, Malzahn, and Hartson, and you've offered some stability in Jonesboro. Over the past, you know, six seasons, going into your seventh season, what's the biggest change you've seen in maybe the awareness of this football program? Because it is becoming, you know, at the very least, a regional brand, but you guys are on national TV quite a bit.
Yeah, we've been really fortunate to get the logo out nationally. We play a lot of midweek games, Thursday, Tuesday night games, bowl games. We've been lucky. Some of our bowl games have been the only game on that day, the only game on that night. We've played well and looked well in some of those. And yeah, I just think that brand is spreading. And when you get into that many households on a night that they're hungry for something to watch and then perform well, I think our staff does a good job in terms of just marketing, both not just my football staff, but across the board. And it's a unique brand. You don't hear the Red Wolves a whole lot. It's the colors stand out, and then when we get an opportunity to talk about what we've done, and like you mentioned, we've had a lot of good coaches come through. We've had a lot of success. We've 9 bowl games, 5 championships in that time, and that's pretty rare category to be in. There's only a handful of other teams that have been able to accomplish that. So we're just trying to build on that, and we've done some great things here in terms of, you know, just the facility enhancement, the game day environment, and then the access to what we have here, so a lot of people can see us that normally wouldn't come through Jonesboro. And, you know, stability was needed. When you don't have five head coaches in 5 years and many good things happen. We won some games during that time, but the roster was starting to really fall apart with all the transition, and we're starting to see the evidence of some stability. We're starting to build the roster back, starting to gain the stability. Well, I think the next 5 years, the next 10 years could be even better, and that's saying a lot considering the success that we've had.
Coach, when I look at what you guys do as far as scheduling goes, I sort of harken back to what Bobby Bowden did in the late 70s with Florida State, when Florida State was an outpost where they would just play anybody, anywhere. It didn't matter. Pat Hill at Fresno State did sort of the same thing. As a group of five school, are you sort of in that mindset where if, you know, a Michigan comes and says, hey, you want to come up here, I mean, you can't wait to sign your name on the line and say, yeah, we're coming?
Yeah, we've had a pretty clear, you know, formula. We looked at kind of how Boise went about getting their, you know, their program into the position it's in. It took a while. It's been be willing to play, you know, a Power 5 team anywhere that is a national brand that gets you notoriety and opportunity. Obviously, you know, those guys are going to write you a check to come play them, but we want to win. And, you know, we haven't had a big Power 5 win in a while, but, you know, I think back in 08, they beat A&M at their place. We've seen teams in our league and in the Group of Five get that done. We've been really close, you know, throwing the ball in the end zone with an opportunity to beat Nebraska a couple years ago, had Missouri down late in the game with an opportunity to win there. We want to get over the hump and win one of those visible, national, notable games. And we will go. We've gone to USC. We've got Washington coming up, Ohio State. We've played Alabama and Auburn, Tennessee, Miami, you name it. We've done it. This year takes us to Michigan. And then we want to play two Group of Five teams across conference lines that show that we can compete at a really high level in the Group of Five. And then we're going to play typically a 1-AA opponent. And we like playing the in-state guys if we can. Pine Bluff, UCA. We've got Howard coming in this year, which is kind of strange, but we're always going to kind of stick to that formula. And we feel like if we do really well in that four-game stretch with a Power 5, two really good quality Group of Five teams, and a 1-AA, we feel like it puts us in the conversation of being one of the best teams in the country if we come out of that 4-0 or at worst 3-1 in a great game against a Power 5 opponent. That's really that's the goal, is to be, you know, the highest ranked Group of Five team in the country when the season's over. And your non-conference is going to have a big, big say in that in terms of how you do and who you play.
We're talking with Blake Anderson here on Ruskin and Sac. Coach, I know myself and a lot of people have watched the way you've handled yourself through the trials and tribulations that you've gone with. And right now there's a lot of people around the state and around the country struggling with illness or finances or whatever the case may be. And I'm just if you have a message of hope or any words to offer up to people who may be struggling out there right now.
Well, I can tell you, I did not get through it alone. And it's still a struggle, to be honest with you. It's, you know, every day just get up and kind of take a deep breath. All my strength comes from Christ and my faith in Jesus Christ and in the family and the folks around me. I've got great people from, you know, my kids being at home still. You know, both my older kids moved back home to help me through that and help Wendy through that. I've got great support here around me. But ultimately, it starts with Christ and just knowing that he tells us clearly we're never alone and that he'll get us through, you know, anything that comes. And it promises it won't be too big for us, but it won't be too big for him. And I just cling to that every day, that I'm going where he wants me to go, and I'm going to do what he wants me to do. And we obviously did not get the answers that we wanted through Wendy's battle, but strengthen the fact that we're going to be together again, and that God's going to get us through whatever that is. And I would tell people the same. This is not great times for a lot of people. I get that. But I know that God will get us through. And it may not be easy. It may be really, really difficult. But I do know that he promises to never leave us and never forsake us, and he'll get us through. And so that would be I would tell him to cling to those you love around you and cling to Christ and just, man, one day at a time, do the best you can do.
Blake Anderson, head coach at Arkansas State, with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Coach, we really appreciate you joining us today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
The Razorback Talk Show, designed for smart fans.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
26 minutes till 5 o'clock. Wednesday, Ruskin and Zach. Just about every Wednesday, we get a recruiting update from Nikki Chavanel from hogbeat.com, part of Rivals. And we're going to do that right now. Nikki's with us on the Williams Tractor Hotline. Good afternoon, Ms. Chavanel.
Hey guys, how's it going?
We're doing well. I printed off the big board here, the 2021 Hogbeat big board. So give me 3, 4, 5 of the top people that they don't have commitments from that they're looking to get in the latest Hogbeat big board.
Ooh, you want me to go on for the entire time you have me on? I can do
that. Yeah, we'll be back.
That'd be fine with us.
Just start, and then we'll come back.
Okay, so they're pretty much set at quarterback. They can take another guy if they want to, but they don't need to. Running back, solid. Wide receiver, Ketron Jackson. I talked to him earlier today and put up the story already. He's a top 250 wide receiver out of Royce City, Texas. He used to play at Lancaster, which most people probably know more than Royce City, but he's 6'1", 190. Arkansas is one of the schools that has been recruiting him the longest, and he talks to Justin Stepp every single day. He got a text from Stepp while he was in an interview with me today, so their relationship is very good. He called it family. Essentially, he has no problem talking to him every single day, and Coach Pittman has also begun doing the same thing, and that's how you can kind of tell that they're very serious about it, because no other head coach has been talking to him like Coach Pittman has. And his other top option, I think, at the moment is TCU, and TCU's wide receiver coach is also a very good recruiter, so that's going to be a battle to watch there. Aaron Outley from Parkview, the tight end. Hands down, one of the top targets in this class. He still wants to go see Oregon. He talked about Florida State, but they took another tight end, so I don't think that they're going to take another one. So just looking at Oregon there, it'd be nice if he would commit earlier, but if he really wants to go visit Oregon, then I guess it's going to be a while, because it doesn't seem like anyone's going anywhere right now. They can take 4 or 5 offensive linemen based on the numbers that they have, but they already have 3, so I wouldn't say that there's, you know, like a really have-to-get guy in that group, but Rayshon Benny, who another analyst talked to today, he's from Michigan, 6'5", 270, top 100 lineman. He has a really good relationship with Brad Davis, so they're working on him, but he's also thinking about deciding sooner, if visits don't look like they're going to happen in September, and he's visited Michigan, which is, you know, the home state school, several times, so I would pick them if he doesn't end up getting to visit Arkansas. Cameron Ball from Georgia, he is listed as an offensive tackle, but he plays defensive tackle, and that's where Arkansas wants him. I know the recruits already have him in a group chat, like they're working on him really, really hard, but again, he hasn't visited Arkansas either, so don't know if he's going to wait it out to come visit. Other than that, I think tomorrow you guys should look out, 1 p.m., Chase Lowry. He is a cornerback from Texas. He is making his decision, and Arkansas offered him, I want to say, like 2 weeks ago. So they have made fast moves with him. He also has Memphis, Purdue, Iowa State, Texas Tech, and Pitt at the top of his list, but I like Arkansas's chances. He said that, you know, with them playing in the SEC, it seems like a really good fit. So that's the only SEC school in his top list of schools. So I like their chances tomorrow, 1 p.m.
What's the biggest area of need? I mean, what are they zeroing in on and saying, we have to solve this problem in this recruiting class?
Right. Well, I think, you know, at this point with what they have already in the class, like they've filled offensive lineman holes with some really good ones, including Terry Wells, who's the in-state lineman, Cole Carson, Devin Manuel. His stock is rising. A&M just offered him today, and he didn't have any other SEC offers, so I think a lot of people might feel a little bit better now about that commitment now that he has another SEC offer. But where the class is now, they don't have any defensive line commits, so they kind of have to start getting on that, but not many have visited. So it's kind of, you know, a wait-and-see kind of thing.
We're talking with Nikki Chavanel, hogbeat.com, part of Rivals here on Ruskin and Zach. With the decommitment of Landon Rogers, Are they going to sign just one quarterback? Are they going to try and get another one? Where does that stand?
If it's me, you know, a lot of programs get away with just having one quarterback a class, and that means just four scholarship quarterbacks on the roster. And even if Felipe Franks does leave in 1 year, they'll still have John Stephen, KJ Jefferson, Malik Hornsby, and Lucas Coley. And I think if you can't find a starter out of that group, it's a bigger problem with your team. So I don't really think they need to go get another one. They offered Landon the day after they offered Lucas. So I think they were kind of maybe taken aback that he committed so quickly, but in-state kids do that. So they were willing to take two, but I'm not sure they will if it's not an in-state kid who really, really wants to be a Razorback. And Landon, I don't think he knew that they were going to take a second quarterback. So after that happened, from what I heard, he wasn't very active talking to the other recruits, kind of felt like he was looked over. So I'm sure he's looking to find a place where he'll be the guy in the class, unlike he was in this one.
Time for Ruskin to say the quiet part out loud. If you have a quarterback room with Jones, Jefferson, Hornsby, Coley, and you can't find a starting quarterback out of that, you're Joe Craddock. That's
the wow.
There you go.
Wow.
Just saying. Wow. All right. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
It's your turn now.
Hey,
I have.
We were talking yesterday. Do you know anybody named Todd? We feel like we've killed off the name Todd.
I don't think I do.
Todds are gone. We had, 212 birthed Todds in 2015? That's the latest data? And We don't have any more Todds.
It's a weird name, honestly. Sorry to any Todds listening, but it's a strange name.
Well, your subscription count just went down by one.
That's
because
right.
There's only one Todd.
Oh, no.
The two Todds are canceled.
We were talking earlier. What's Nikki short for? Please tell me it's Nikita, and if not, lie to me.
Nikita. It is Nicole, but
you were right.
Mom never called me that ever growing up, so it's been Nikki my whole life.
What's your middle name?
Michelle.
Oh, all right.
So that's Nicole, that has good, Michelle Chavanel.
That has good flow. Nikki flows. Michelle has good right, flow. It like flows. That just that it's like rolls a stage off name. The tongue. Yeah,
you could just
good.
Be Nikki Michelle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now when
it
your
was
mom-
actually Michelle was actually my first name growing up, but in Russia, it's very common to use the middle name, and apparently it is here in the South too. I don't know. You guys know of this?
I got a cousin that they always call her Julianne. Mm-hmm. And Anne's her middle name. That's what they just call her all the time.
When your mom would yell at you, was it Nikki Michelle?
No, it was still just Nikki. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, we're talking with Nikki Chavanel.
I was just curious.
I'm a Hogbeat here on Ruskin and Zach. All right, so we're getting closer to the next kind of, I guess it's kind of an experiment because it's never really been tried before with the COVID world and workouts where you're going to have more people in the building trying to shuffle around and avoid each other. And in terms of the locker rooms and all that, so we're about to that phase here in a week or two, right?
Yeah. The walkthroughs start July 24th and then fall camp starts August 7th. So we are a month away from fall camp. And right now, I mean, the Ivy League announces they're not doing fall sports. They're probably some of the smartest among us, so I don't know how much I want to question that decision, but it doesn't look great. I'm worried, guys. I'm really worried. I don't know how much longer I can go about talking about a hypothetical season.
North Carolina shut down workouts for 2 weeks. I'm looking at the calendar here. That would put it on the 22nd if they're going to start their, the OTA sort of thing on the 24th. I don't think we're going to see, if we start seeing teams canceling or postponing workouts next week, I think that's the sign.
And here's the other issue is people are talking about the next 2 weeks are important. Well, the die has already been cast on the next 2 weeks, like the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like now, anything you do now, you won't see like impact until like early August. So we're kind of already like the play has already been written for what things are going to look like at the end of this month, more or less, because this thing kind of has this sort of delayed reaction where you do things and then you don't see results instantly like we're all used to as Americans. So it's kind of tough to wrap your mind around all that.
But it feels like it's going to be really hard to get teams all on a level playing field as much as, you know, as is possible. Just because, like, if you're UNC, you lose the last 2 weeks of workouts where kids are trying to get back in shape from being at home. From what it sounds like, the Arkansas players did a really good job. And they came back in shape, but that's just, you know, what they tell us. We don't even know how many cases of coronavirus they've had, so who knows what's going on with those guys. Some teams are going to be in a lot better position to play than others if they do play on time.
And you're going to need a certain amount of teams to make it all, you know, worthwhile. Well, you know, if you get in a conference of 14, if you've got like 5 that can do it, well, you can't do that. If you've got 11 or 12, well, then that's a little bit different.
Right. Notre Dame looks like they've handled it well. No cases right now.
They are elite at handling the coronavirus. They can't block anybody, but they're elite. Missouri just confirmed that they have 10 student athletes and staff that have tested positive since the beginning.
But they didn't say what sport, though, right?
No.
But we all just assume football because, who else would be on campus, right?
Yeah, who else would it be?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a look, it's all going to play out here. I think the SEC will wait as long as it possibly can to decide on anything. And I know the next 2 weeks are important, but kind of the results of the next 2 weeks are the product of the last 2 weeks. So it's kind of wait and see, really. Nick, that's all you can do.
Nikki, we settled on a streaming service. You were upset that now it's Downton Abbey, not downtown.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Downtown Abbey was something completely different. I was not aware, and I would like to claim age on that. Have you settled on a streaming service?
Well, we have all kinds, but we were going to go in for YouTube TV, and then they raised the price.
Yeah, sucks,
well,
doesn't it?
There's no sports, so there's no reason at all for me to do that, so I'm at least going to wait till the season gets here.
Yeah, that's and how many... This is a fascinating research project here, because... The big companies, Nikki, they want us to have like 30 streaming services. They want us to subscribe to all. How many are you willing? You're on the younger side of the demo. How many are you willing to have before you're like, no more?
Well, if they keep putting out good stuff, I guess like I'm gonna go in for it. Like I have Amazon Prime because I already have, the regular Prime account. Got Hulu. Got HBO, Netflix. I mean, I pay for ESPN Plus because I like what,
what the is your bill a month?
Behind. Well, Ben and I go halvesies, so, it's all good.
Right down the middle. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so like when you all get hitched, are you going to hyphenate your name, take his, or make him take yours?
Ooh. I mean, Chabanel is really beautiful.
I like that. And if you put your foot down and say you're taking mine, he'll do it.
Well, probably.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, I don't think he would. He's not that freewheeling, but Edwards is so short and easy. No one ever wonders how you say it or spell it. So, I don't know. I'd probably go that route. Although, I hope he's not listening.
And now on the phone we have... No, I'm kidding. This isn't Maury Povich or anything like that. All right. Nikki Chabanel, Hogbeat, H-A-W-G, hogbeat.com. Check out the big board, all the recruiting and all the coverage you need right there. Thank you, Nikki.
Thanks, guys. As always, have a good one.
All right, Nikki and all our guests, join us. Williams Tractor Hotline, Ruskin and Zach. You're always willing to ask the uncomfortable. You're the Mike Wallace of Arkansas Radio. Ask the question that is uncomfortable every time.
I just want answers. Look, she sent me a text message at 6:15 in the morning. That's I've true. Got some leeway.
All bets are off. Then.
That's right.
That's right. That changes everything.
What question did I ask her that was uncomfortable?
You're talking to someone who's about marriage and there's no plans for marriage. That could be a little bit forward.
I think my man Ben needs to put a ring on it. Was that Beyonce who said that?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm asking Lynch like he knows.
He doesn't know.
No.
He's watching a stock car race from Norway right now in there. He doesn't know what's
going
on.
Ice racing?
He's watching a go-kart race in Budapest.
Have you seen the soccer matches where the ball is on fire?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Like the glow puck?
It's literally on fire. It is. I'm at that point with sports. That's what I want. That's what I'm watching.
You're watching the
watching soccer with a ball that's on fire.
But you're not watching the guy set the bench press record or the deadlift or whatever that thing was a few weeks ago.
You can wear some sort of shirt apparatus thing. You know, it just
This was without a shirt. This was like a legit thing, I believe. I don't know. At this point, I'm willing to watch that. Who's the Walinda that's left? Nick Walinda? Is he the one left?
Mickey.
No, Nick Walinda is the guy. I'm willing to watch. I'm willing to watch him walk across something now. Like, fire it up at the Grand Canyon again. Let's go.
Is that they make them wear the wire.
He's tethered to the thing,
You know what? What's the point?
Yeah, it was very disappointing. The first one was all hyped up. He was going to walk on New Year's Eve. He's going to walk Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. And it was all hyped up and everything. And then you get there and watch it, and he's tethered to the wire. Yeah. And you're like, well, this sucks. Yeah, I'm going to watch drunk people in Times Square. I'm not watching this.
Right. This is like Evel Knievel CGI-ing over 55 barrels. I can't do that.
Every Nick Walinda special, though, they show his grandfather in somewhere overseas, Bahamas or something, falling to his death. They have video of him.
That's what
lost his balance. The wind picked up.
That's what we're signing up for.
That's it. Yeah. So I watched that. He walked between a couple buildings. I remember the Grand Canyon one. That's the first one I remember where they're showing him and they're showing like his dad or his uncle or whoever like talking to him the whole time. So it's like all you hear is those two. He's talking to himself on the wire and then you hear his dad or somebody talking to him on the side. It was really odd.
There's a Tino, a Carl. I'm working on it. Apparently, 167 of the Walindas have their troop have perished.
Oh. By the way, the guy that said the congressional delegation is four has doubled down, saying he's right.
Okay,
sir. Listen, I like your attitude of wrong but never in doubt. But Congress is both houses. Again, it's Civics Day on Ruskin and Zach, or Social Studies Day. This is not politics. This is civics. We're allowed to do it. But Congress is made of the Senate and the House of Representatives. So when you have four representatives and you have two senators, class, that's six. Thank you. All right.
It is now, there is new math. But four plus two is still six.
It's
still six. We're sure of that.
If I got four pieces of pizza and then I got two, that's six.
Razorback talk show designed for smart fans. This is Ruskin and Zach.
The Ruskin and Zach show has been streamed in 133 countries, 50 states, 2 territories, and Hooker, Oklahoma. If you want to stream it too, it's ESPN995.com. Hit that line.com. You got one of them Google Play Alexa thingies. Just say, hey, play ESPN Northwest Arkansas, and boom, like a hooker, there we are.
Is that an OU or an OSU town?
I believe that would be an OU town or wherever some of my exes live.
Okay. OU town. The Arkansas Activity Association today is preparing to resume activities in athletics this fall. In accordance with the regular calendar, these preparations are contingent upon compliance with all the directives as issued by the governor's office and the Department of Health.
So they said, we're going to try and do this unless they say we can't.
That's exactly what the statement says. Yes. But they're going to try and do this if they let them do this.
We don't want to make the decision. You make it.
Well, they can't make the decision. They're not in charge of this. So
they're not in charge of anything.
No. So
they run a hell of a football tournament.
Yes. Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Love me a good hospitality room.
Yeah. But that more falls on the peoples.
But basically, they're saying, like, if we get the green light, we're playing sports this fall. And that's one of the fall sports. Volleyball, football, obviously.
Basketball.
Golf. Basketball's not a fall sport.
Play it in November.
In some places, you're right.
I mean, start playing tournaments in November.
Well,
conference season starts in January, but you got, you know, a 10-15 game run-up to that.
Okay. All right. So that statement was issued this afternoon by the AAA. So
We've got a couple of Todds that have texted us. So no. Todd is alive and well.
We have Todds. No. No. Here's a text. I've always liked the name Elizabeth because we get shortened Liz, Beth, Betty, Betsy, Eliza. Are we making Elizas anymore?
Are we?
Outside of Hamilton? Are there any Elizas?
I knew an Eliza in St. Louis.
Well, there's an Eliza Schlesinger, the comic.
She's pretty funny. You ever see her?
No.
No, she's good.
We got a tweet here from a message from a guy named, I think it's Michael. He said his fourth grade crush was named Jan. This is, by the way, Relationship Tuesday, sponsored by Cupid's. His fourth grade crush, Jan, another girl named Tasha, gave him a box of crayons to dump her. Crayons lasted longer than both relationships.
Well,
good for you.
Well, I never got the time of day with Julie in fourth grade. Mm. And again, it didn't help that one day I ripped one in class and everybody started laughing at me. And then the teacher opened the window and then everybody started laughing at that. Even I had to laugh at that because that was pretty. That's pretty
solid.
That's a good move. That's a good ad lib right there.
You were quite the hit with the ladies. How far did that follow you? Did it follow you through the rest of your years?
It followed me to the therapist couch a week ago.
No kidding. BE says they're not making Allens anymore.
Allen, okay.
What are we making if we're getting rid of all these? What'd you say the number one male and female name was?
Liam and Emma.
Oh, Emma. Okay.
Liam?
Liam. Liam Neeson.
I know who Liam Neeson is, but he's 60. Oh. Liam?
Yeah, I have a 4-year-old nephew named Liam.
Huh. All right.
I don't know any Liams. And there's Brody on the list. Yeah. That's a popular.
It's got to be. Brody. It's got to be top 10.
We got any Brodies? Or Bodie Miller? We're checking the list. Efforting.
Kendall's a big one, boy and girl.
Kendall goes both. Yeah, that's right. It's a unisex. Is that the word I'm looking for?
I think so. Yes. Okay. A lot of Madisons.
Madison.
Now. That's a big one.
Yeah. I was trying to come up with the one of the football commitments last week had two first names.
Chris Paul.
And I was trying to come up with the list of Razorbacks with two first names. Anthony Lucas, Pat Bradley.
Beverly.
Patrick Beverly.
That's a good one. Good
catch.
See, that one swings both ways. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. That was solid.
Yeah.
Could you go with Isaiah Morris?
Isaiah Joe.
All right. We're at the Mickey Mouse Club.
Sorry. Not that.
Roy.
Now, let me find this thing here. It was a few days ago. But I had I got some responses on that. Clyde Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I said the other two, Anthony Lucas, Pat Bradley, and Patrick Beverly's going, Isaiah Joe. Yeah.
Oliver Miller? You could do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clyde Fletcher? You don't know who Clyde Fletcher is.
Clyde Fletcher, yeah.
Remember him?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. No.
All right. That's all I got.
Okay.
Randy Gregory. Good one.
Randy Gregory.
Dwight Stewart.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. That's
there
good.
It is.
I like that.
Well, yeah. Austin and Brandon Allen.
Yeah. Both Allens. That's right. Yep. Yeah. It's good.
Good.
I heard a story this weekend. One of my aunts said that her great grandfather's name was Lawnmower.
Excuse me?
Hmm.
Hold on. Don't shut them up. What?
It was spelled Lonmoore, but they all pronounced it Lawnmower.
Ah, okay. So his first name was Lawn. Got it. Okay.
No, his first name was Lawnmower.
Michael Neighbors, coach Mike Neighbors, just said Ernie Murray. Good call. By the way,
Scotty Thurman.
His lead, one of his associate head coaches is named Todd.
Okay.
So thank you, coach.
Scotty Thurman.
Yeah, there you go.
Thurman. Yeah, that's a name. Oh.
Right. Zach Clark. That'll work.
Yeah.
Good one on
Casey Clark. Dick.
Yeah, there you go. Still clip the guy, but I like to point that out to him every time I see that video on the board. I'm like, hey, look, they're showing your clip.
Yeah. See, the game here that we're playing is Razorbacks with two first names. Like Chad Morris was sent in here by somebody.
Well,
from the 479. That's Hunter
qualifies.
Henry. Hunter Henry.
Yeah, there you go.
Hudson Henry.
Yeah. Just keep going.
Henry. Oh, Henry.
Do they still make those?
I think so, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Where do you buy your candy at?
The stuff in my office? This place down the street.
Okay. Hey, I got to... let me see what happens here as we... maybe continuing this discussion. And then I want to pivot to another important Relationship Tuesday conversation that we need to the men we need to have this discussion. Okay, here we go. All right, everybody ready? Here we go. All right. So this comes up because my wife was talking to somebody, interviewing them to do some work, and this lady was talking about how this guy keeps calling her. He called like 5 times. Wanting her to, you know, work for her and meet at this place and on and on. And so my wife's like, well, you know, you can block the number. And she's in the young lady's like, well, how do I do that? So my wife gets the phone and is showing her how to block the number and going through the phone on this guy and scrolling through text. And there's a pic of his, for the sake of family radio. It's a pic of his dangling participle.
No.
And so here we are. This is still a thing. Listen. Remember community showers? Remember the big room with all the showers in it?
Oh, yeah.
What was the number one rule of communal showers?
Eyes front.
Yes. Because even we don't want to look at them. So why would they want to look at them? Nobody wants to see this. Stop doing this. Stop sending photos unless you're in a deeply committed relationship and that's your thing. And hey, get after it. But stop sending unsolicited photos of your dangling participle to women. They don't want to see it. Nobody wants to see that thing. All right? So stop it already. Enough of this. We're better than this. Come on.
It never goes away.
Yeah. Yeah.
It never goes away.
The internet never forgets.
Never.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Don't do this.
It's called disclosure, you
Thank you. Don't do this. Quit sending photos of your dangling participle to people who don't ask for them. What are you doing?
Having been re-released into the wild recently,
yeah.
The world is a different place now.
Yeah.
People are much more...
And you wouldn't do that.
No. God, no. No.
But these guys do it,
and they
don't even ask for it.
Jeeves, you look like you've participated.
I'm interested in how you can figure out how to take a picture of your
dangling participle,
but you don't know how to block a phone number on a phone.
Well, she was receiving the photo and was, new to the technology or something. I don't know.
To be dead on accurate.
Thank you. That'll be fine. God almighty. I mean, let's put this another way. Let's turn this into Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Any rebroadcast without express written consent is strictly prohibited. That's the rule. There you go.
Send a selfie. Send pictures of your dog, your cat, your hamster, your fish.
Yeah.
Keep your junk in your pants.
That's right. Nobody wants to see that thing. They're not beautiful. They're not. They're quite unseemly, honestly. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? Stop this. We're better than this. And I know I'm probably not talking to people who do this because this is the show for smart fans and the dumb fans are listening to something else right now. But if you happen to have snuck in and you're one of the dumb guys, listen closely to me. Come close to the radio. Don't do this. Just don't. This is not the way to do it.
Let me tell you why. Amy from Hot Springs, who is... an authority on apparently these sorts of things, says, and I'm quoting here, she is a female. We've met her. She's an actual live female. She said, I will save it, make a collage out of it, and give it back to you at Christmas.
Yeah. How's that going to work
out
for you?
And I promise you, she's not the only one that will see it.
Yeah. But I mean, we just I'm talking to a lot of men here.
And 60
women. And just don't do this. Come on.
W and Wick sums it up. Wait to disappoint her.
That's right.
There you go. Okay.
Any rebroadcast without express written consent is strictly prohibited.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. That's your Relationship Tuesday. There you go. All right. Ruskin and Zach. 866-285-4005. I didn't mean to. Signed, Brett Favre.
Wow.
Thank you. Scott. All right. We'll be back with more in a little bit here on Ruskin and Zach. Don't go anywhere.